3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is talking down.
If you're gonna kill somebody, it's probably gonna be me.
Check one.
Shut up, Dan.
We're always on.
So the stage is set. The opening band has been on stage setting up for about 15 minutes now. As you can hear, there are people talking. The crowd is anxiously awaiting for the opening act to start. We are 15 minutes into setup. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired, coming at you from the throbbing heart of rock and roll that is Austin, Texas. I am Chris Jordan, your host, and tonight on the Talking Sound Podcast, we will be talking about silence. Silence is death, ladies and gentlemen. That is the motto of an audio engineer. Silence is death, be it in a live scenario such as this, or be it on broadcast, where I've spent the last many years doing broadcast and corporate audio. When a room is silent, it's obvious rapidly. When you lose communication on a radio program or on a television show, you tell within 2-3 seconds. If there is more than 2 or 3 seconds of silence going on, there is an issue. Now, once again, these gentlemen have been setting up for about 15 minutes at the point that I started recording. I wasn't even there to record them. I was there to check out the following band, the Scrambled Yeggs, and these guys were great. They were fantastic. They were actually really good sports. They went on, did their show. The issue comes to bear. What do you do when you don't have an audio engineer in-house? I've written articles about this on the website and for Austin Hot Mods in my tips and tricks column. And it's a hard issue. It's a hard issue. Not everybody in the band is an audio engineer. Not everybody in the band has that technical expertise of how to treat equipment, what to do with the equipment to make it do what you need to do. So here we are with this perfectly bad example of what can happen and how quickly it can go awry. And this isn't just an example for the bands. This is an example for the venues as well. This is something that, as an audio engineer, as someone who owned their own company with a labor pool who sent engineers out to venues, this is something that is an ongoing situation where sound systems are not maintained, where equipment is faulty, where, you know, the sound guy's off for the night and you have three bands and nobody knows how to run the board. Nobody knows what's patched into what, where things are locked up. You know, it's an issue when you don't have an engineer there. Now, once again, it's not on these guys. It's not. I actually talked with them. They're great. They gave me their CD. I'm looking at having them on. And I actually got their permission to use this footage for this exact purpose. So before anybody starts blogging on YouTube or anything like that, starts putting out responses like, oh my God, I can't believe he did this to this band and didn't blur their faces or anything like that. This is done as an example. This is done as an example of what can happen, of the issues that you run against every time you step foot onto a stage, every time that you're not in the controlled environment of either your rehearsal space or a studio. This is what can happen. And once again, it's not their fault. They told the club that they needed extra time to set up. They said if there could be somebody there to help out, that would be great. Nobody was there. It was odd that they went on, did their set, and had no complaints whatsoever. Even at the end of the night, they didn't say anything bad about the venue Nothing like that. They had nothing but good things to say. But I felt for them. I felt really bad for them because they were having issues. They were having problems. And as we'll notice here in a little while, the issues continued. Now, how do you circumvent this? How do you fix this problem? First thing is practice. Learn your gear. Learn it inside and out the same way a mechanic learns a vehicle. You literally have to spend time on gear in order to know it. Even here in this studio, you've noticed some things have changed, some sounds have changed, options have come about, because we're an organic, we're a growing program, and we understand that tech moves, tech is living, it's organic. So, yeah, you know, we've worked on some standards, things like that, but we've really tried to grow as the show grows, and now that we are beyond episode 10, we've really come to the point where we're understanding where a lot of this stuff lies and where we're going to be incorporating it. So even here at the show, with years of experience under our belt, we still spend time technically testing things, putting things together. The one thing that I did notice with this guy, with his guitar rig, he had all of his pedals separate. And though that's a very convenient, easy way to carry them instead of having them on a pedal board, the issue that you deal with in that scenario is that knobs can move. If the pedals are not in a static location where they can't move flip-flop, even if you're carrying them in the original box, they can still move. Knobs can get turned, things like that. And if you don't know or you don't have marked your exact settings on that pedal, you're going to have an issue. You're going to have a problem. So that's one thing to keep in mind. You know, even if it's a small board, I have boards that are literally slightly larger than this tablet right here, which is a 10-inch screen, for those of you who are listening. And I have two or three pedals on it because that is something that I use for a specified purpose and only pull those pedals out whenever I use that. So it really comes down to organization, getting to know your gear, getting to know your setup, getting to know, as I've mentioned before, stripping down inputs. If you know you're going into a venue that has one and two channels on the PA, strip down. Know exactly which two inputs you need absolutely on your rig to get your sound. That way, you can assure the fact that you have the best quality sound possible. Know in a small venue, in a small room, how far apart your amplifiers need to be to get the proper spread so that the dispersion of the speakers aren't stomping on each other. Know which amps to have at what settings. That way, whenever you lay into a solo, you're not completely burying rhythm guitar. Things like that. And as you can see, we're about 8 minutes into setup, and they're still going, which means about 23 minutes. Now, they were supposed to play for an hour. And, you know, that it starts to eat into set time. You know, that's really an issue that I myself, as a stage manager, have dealt with whenever I worked festivals. And, you know, you email everybody ahead of time and you try to let them know, listen, you know, yes, you have an hour of stage time. That hour of stage time means from the time you step foot on stage to the time that you step foot off. That includes setup. If it takes you 23 minutes to set up, that means that you have a remainder of 37 minutes left to play. Which means if you want an encore, you really need to stop at about 30 so that you have time to come back onto stage, fulfill the audience request, and then kindly leave so that the next band still has their time. So let's take another listen here at what's happening on stage. Now, bear in mind, these guys are familiar with their sound. They're doing their best. It's hard. It's very hard whenever you don't know the equipment. Whenever you don't understand the venue. How to assure that you're going to get the best quality sound every time. Now, coming back, let's consider that. Knowing the venue. I didn't really ask these gentlemen if they had ever played this venue in Austin before, if they were ever on this stage. However, it's a plus, especially in a four-man band such as them. It's for those of you who can't see, I know it's very hard to hear this audio. We're having it run under the background for a reason. That way you can grasp what it's like, what this tension is like for these people in the audience who have been trying to listen to a show for this whole time. And who, fortunately on this night, it was a Sunday evening, so there was no cover. But imagine if you paid a cover to get in on a Wednesday night, which is frequent, where you go into a venue, you pay a cover for a couple bands, and there's a house PA, no sound guy. Nobody running sound. And hey, you know, bands frequently know the PA that they have in their rehearsal space. They may even know one or two soundboard formats, but it doesn't mean they're familiar with your gear. So really, it behooves you to have somebody on staff, or at least have the bartenders trained in how to operate the soundboard. Now, the bartender comes over. He does know a couple things from the open mic night, apparently. He does come over periodically throughout this and help them out. But if you listen to them playing, like they have started playing at this point, and it's about 30 minutes into setup that they finally started playing, and you still can't hear everything clearly. You know, they can hear things in their monitor. He can hear his vocals in his monitor. They can hear that. They know that there's very little coming through the monitor, but they're doing their best. The speakers out front, though, if you listen, it's hard to understand anything that's going on. It's almost unintelligible. And if I can imagine if I was paying for a show, I would be a little bit more proactive in talking to bar staff. I really let this happen because, as I said, it was about 20 minutes into setup when I was like, wow, you know, I should really record this. I've been in this scenario way too many times. I've been at way too many shows, you know, more than 1,000 shows I've worked easy, just come to mind. And, you know, with this scenario, it's not going to be fixed. It's just not going to happen. And it's very unfortunate, but at the same time, it's a growing situation. It's an organic situation. The band is organic, so you really kind of have to let the lesson occur. You have to let them understand that somebody needs to come and check out the venue, check out the sound requirements, check out what is and what isn't. You really need to get there extra early. As I've notated before, I normally show up to shows, if I'm providing the sound system, minimum of 3.5 hours early. If I'm running sound, I'm normally there an hour and a half to an hour before bands show up. For this exact reason, so you can turn things on, find out what's happening in-house in your system, find out if there's any stray crackles, pops, if somebody spilled beer in the snake the night before and two of the channels aren't working. You really don't want to show up 10 minutes before the band and be dealing with other elbows and bottoms on stage that you are trying to get past to fix issues. So knowing the venue, knowing the system is a really, really big plus. It only behooves you to do so. So bearing that in mind, once again, understand these guys are an up-and-coming act. You know, they've got a CD out. It's some great stuff. We'll actually be having them on to come on and talk about their music and everything else. And at that point, we'll have a little bit more idea of what they should be sounding like and things like that. So really, sitting in the audience at something like this and trying your best to make out what happens can be very hard. When you're promoting shows and this happens, it can be very hard. It can be very hard to talk to the venue and try to make them understand that, hey, man, somebody needs to know what's happening. Also, if you're a promoter, you should know a little bit about sound yourself, just so if this happens for the band that you're working for or with, you can assure the fact that quality sound can be attained, at least some modicum of it. Now, the band afterward, the Scrambled Yeggs, were a little bit more prepared. They really knew their equipment, their setup, their sound, their needs, and exactly what needed to happen in order to make their show happen. So, as you probably noticed in that episode, their audio is a little bit better, and it's the exact same camera in the exact same spot. So, coming back full circle, coming back to setup, you really have to take your time and come to a point of understanding that though you are a rock star inside, your circumstances do not always dictate such. So you really have to be prepared to deal with the janky sound system. This place had a decent PA, you know, it was literally just a little powered PA with some inputs and a couple speakers. Really something more that, and remember, PA and sound system are two different things. The sound system has subwoofers, has more than one speaker, has monitors. A PA is a public address system. It's meant for vocals. It's not meant to take your guitars through. It's not meant to take your kick drum through. It's not meant to do those things. So whenever you try to push those sounds through it, it can really max out the amplifier and make it hard. Make it very distorted, make it very rough. So whenever you're dealing with a PA system, something that is a big square box with eight inputs on the front for microphones, you really have to make sure that you keep things at around 12 o'clock, that you aren't pushing stuff too much, that you aren't gaining things too much before you put volume out. And it's a delicate balance whenever you're dealing with PA as opposed to a sound system. A sound system, you really have a lot more headroom. You have more preamp juice because you're dealing with the soundboard instead of just a one channel gain. It's a whole different ball game. So know what you're dealing with whenever you walk in as a band, and try to understand that sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice parts of your sound. Sometimes you're going to have to make it to where your sound is just representative. I had a situation this last South by Southwest where a band came in from New York, and, you know, it was one of those days where everybody was wondering about their hour of stage time, and I was trying to explain to them, please refer back to your emails 2 weeks ago, that an hour of stage time includes your setup. And one of the bands, though I had sent out riders, if you're going somewhere and they've asked you for a rider, what a rider is basically everything you might possibly need. And that was for cross rental, anything that they may have to get from another venue, if they have more than one venue, anything that they may have to rent out from a local rental house. So we were trying to, about a month or so before, find out what equipment had to come to bear for the sets. And lo and behold, the opening band actually needed a Pioneer DJ rig. They've specified we need a DJ rig. Now, that means a lot of things, especially in the world of cross rental. Most of the time, a DJ rig means, you know, a very simple crossfade, deck-to-deck, maybe include some iPods, something like that type situation with a crossfade mixer. That's what was rented. That's what was requested. Now, come to find out, what they wanted was a Pioneer DJM 1000, you know, a very specific piece of gear that was digital interface, you know, not just a digital interface to be able to go to Serato, but this interface to be able to control effects and everything else. And, you know, that's an issue, especially whenever you find out after they show up late for their stage time. You know, they show up late, they don't have the gear that they need. And you really have to struggle at that point as an engineer and as a stage manager to find what needs to go on stage to make the show happen, regardless. And we ended up, you know, stripping down. I was like, you've got to be I'm a digital musician as well. I deal with a lot of backbeats, and I perform to backbeats. You've got to be able to just have a backbeat that you can be able to live mix some effects on. No, it doesn't look as cool as all that with the, and it's not as convenient as having the console, but you can do it with a mouse. I guarantee you can do it with a mouse. So we made the show happen. It took a little bit longer to set up, but regardless, the point is knowing the situation, knowing ahead of time, and making arrangements, making sure that what happens is at the bare bones minimum what needs to happen to make a show go on. These guys this evening were very concerned about getting guitars in the mix and things like that. And, you know, if you turn down your electric amp and just put that Dobro and the microphone through, you'd be surprised how quick it happens. You know, it was really a struggle to sit in the room and try to deal with the issues going on as a sound guy and feeling their pain and knowing it, but at the same time knowing that this episode has to happen. This episode must happen. We have to talk about the technical issues that arise. We have to talk about the problems that happen, because they happen for all of us, professional or newbie. It's an issue that you're always going to be plagued with, and whether it's broadcast, whether it's live broadcast, whether it's to tape, whether it's in the studio, you know, you're going to run across problems. So the issue is, how do you deal with them? These guys handled it like pros. They went on with their show. They made it happen. And at the end of the night, passed out, from what I saw, about 15 to 20 CDs to a crowd of about 35 people. And everybody loved them. It was a great sound. It was a great vibe. Even though it was hard to hear it in the room, you could tell what they were trying to do. So, you know, you have to give it to them. On that note, they are utterly professional. On the fact that they arrived on time, utterly professional. On the fact that they muddled through their set despite the lack of being able to hear everything in monitors, despite the fact that everything was going wrong in-house. Their energy is amazing on stage. The guy is still laying into licks. The bassist is still grooving out on it. And come to find out, that evening was his first gig on stage as a bassist. He's actually a drummer by trade and had been playing and learning bass and teaching himself bass and had some incredible chops, as did the Dobro player. You know, I can't wait to see where these guys go and what they are doing later. From what the lead guitarist and vocalist was telling me, he's actually opening a spot for food trucks and artists and musicians right up off of the east side of Austin, off of Riverside and Pleasant Valley area. So it's really going to be fantastic, and I can't wait. So, you know, coming back, it's hard whenever you're on stage to get through that. So maintaining the professionalism is really what it's about on both sides of the table. When you're a sound guy and you're dealing with that, you really have to have patience for the guys. If you have time, and I know it's hard to find time whenever you are trying to maintain a stage, maintain a crowd, maintain a vibe in a room as a sound guy, it's hard to make your way to stage and help somebody. Oh my God, I can't believe I have to help somebody tweak their gear. You know, you should know your gear. You know, you play on it all the time. Yes, but something may have got moved in the car. And, you know, whenever you're a band that's up and coming and you're new, and most of your happenings happen in a rehearsal space or in a bedroom where everything is set up all the time, it is certainly, certainly hard. So my heart goes out to these guys this evening, and I can tell you right now, their CD is some good stuff. We will be having them on soon. So once again, go out, support your local musicians. If you're a local musician, go out, meet your local sound guys. Go out to the venue, meet the management, meet the bar staff, meet the promoters. Really get to know the place that you're going to be. Make it a second home. The more you do that, the more they will want you back. Guaranteed. And the more you, you're nice to the sound guys from the other side, or to the sound guys from the other side of stage, the more they'll remember you, sound guys, the more you help the musicians on your stage and help them achieve the tone that they're trying to achieve. The further it goes for you, the more that they'll want to work with you, and I guarantee you, the more gigs that you will get out of it. So, on that note, everybody, that about wraps it up for this edition of the Talking Sound Podcast. Please, please, everyone, visit us online. Go on to the website, www.talkingsoundshow.com. There on the website, you can find everything. We have audio players that let you listen to the show. We have audio downloads for free. Just go onto the audio feeds page and right-click one of the singular titles. It'll tell you where to save the file. You can go onto the video feed page and watch all of the posts on YouTube. If you're a fan of the podcast, on Spreaker or on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/talkingsound. Spreaker.com/talkingsoundpodcast. You can go on to YouTube and watch everything that happens here in studio, the musical guests that we have, the technical issues that we come up against, everything. So remember, go online, support us. TalkingSoundShow.com. We do have an app that's getting ready to come out. It's in the middle of testing. If you go to our donate page, that'll take you to our Patreon account. That's patreon.com/talkingsound. There you can help us out. We have a fundraiser right now trying to get the app launched. We also have a fundraiser for all of the monthly maintenance for the show, what the cost for the space, the cost for equipment maintenance, the cost for website design, the cost for everything. So if you're a fan of the show, please, please take us to heart, make a donation. We guarantee you that we will keep new things coming at you. And on that note, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Christopher Jordan. I am the host here at the Talking Sound Podcast. Take care. Keep reaching for 11.
This is Talking Sound.